The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The ruler sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him, there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now, one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. When the President of the United States gives his State of Union address, it's a fact that some 6,000 security people are involved in looking after and making sure that the leaders of our nation are kept safe. And when the President leaves the White House or travels anywhere, he's surrounded by security and all kinds of codes, and as being, and he's referred to as the most powerful man in the world. And today's feast makes that, the most powerful man in the world, pale into insignificance. Because today we celebrate the feast of Christ, the King of the universe. Not just the King of our little world or the King of our little planet, but the King of the whole universe. He is everything, Christ is everything, and he is in everything. And I just want to look again for a moment at the second reading this morning. Beautiful, beautiful reading. And it sums up so well what we're talking about today. And I can find it. I think it's on page 236, if my memory serves me right. Yes. We're told in the second reading, it's a beautiful reading from Colossians, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible. He is before all things. He is the head of the body, the church. And the next little sentence, he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, for in him all things, might be preeminent. He is the beginning and the end of all that is. So, you know, that puts, we're not talking now this morning, and that's big stuff we're talking about this morning, really big stuff. We're not just talking about Jesus, we're talking about Christ. You got to make a distinction. And I keep telling you, Christ was not Jesus' last name. Christ was the creator of all things. And so God revealed himself and began revealing himself and continues to this very day revealing himself when God first revealed himself in the creation of the world. Nobody is absolutely sure, but between 13.5 and 14.5 billion years ago. And Christ is everything and is in everything. When you realize that, and I realized that for a long, long time, I made Christ so small in my life that he was just king of this little world, or the king of the Catholic Church, and that was it. So, so small. And many of us today have a same picture or concept of Christ. We make him so small, so small. He's the king of the universe. There was a nun in a school, and she was teaching second grade. And she said, I'll give $5 to whoever will tell me who was the most important person that ever lived. And so Sean, who had Irish ancestry, he put his hand up and said, St. Patrick's sister was the most important person that ever lived. And sister said, no, that's not the correct answer. And then a little Scottish boy, he put his hand up and said, sister, St. Andrew was the most important person that ever lived because he's the patron of Scotland. And she said, no, Hamish, that's not the right question. And then a little Jewish boy put his hand up and said, sister, it was Jesus Christ. And she said, wonderful, that's a great answer, and that's the correct answer. Now come up here, and I give you your $5. And she said, how come, Hamish, that you know the answer, and you're a Jew? What he said, sister, I knew in my heart it was Moses, but business is business. Can't be a little Jewish boy, right? Now, I have momentarily lost my train of thought, but it'll come back in a few moments. So I want to go on to just describing a little bit on how we then, in our own lives, show our loyalty to Christ. So Christ that we are talking about was a reconciler and not a destroyer. He was a reconciler and not a divider. Look at how divided we are today. And when you look back on the Old Testament, you know something? There's not one good king in the whole of the Old Testament. They're all Turks. Now that might be a consolation to a lot of us here this morning, looking back at the last election that took place in this country. There wasn't one good king in the whole of the Old Testament. And how does God solve that problem in the world today? Christ was a peacemaker. Christ came to show us how to really live, how to live in unity. And that's why today we've got to really, really, and I mean really, really, admire people who have the courage to stand up and be counted and stand up for the truth and principle. We need people like that today who are willing to stand up for truth and principle in spite of being threatened or being castigated or in spite of obfuscation or anything else you would like to call it, people who are prepared to put their head on the line for the sake of truth and principle. That is how Jesus intervenes in history today and directs the history of the world by producing people like this. God bless them. I think the proof, if that's the word, or the sign of real leadership is somebody who works for the common good and the good of others, not just for his own self-promotion or for his own survival or because he or she wants to cling on to power, but to put others before themselves. That's the sign of true leadership. They said to Jesus, to Christ hanging on the cross, you saved others, why don't you save yourself? Christ saves others by not saving himself, by not looking after what is best for him. That's the difference, and that's the difference between true, beautiful leadership that Christ showed us and some of the leadership we experience in today's world. Can you see the difference? And Christ, again, going back, King of the universe, it leaves all earthly power and glory in the shade. King of the whole universe, and still, as he hung on the cross and was going through terrible pain and terrible suffering, he could look at this little thief beside him and have time for him. Would you be able to do that? I don't think so. I can't speak for you. I don't think I'd be so concerned about the pain and the suffering. But Christ, this little thief, we don't know what he did and what was his crime. But Jesus had time for him and he said, today you will be with me in paradise. You will be with me in paradise. Why don't we and when are we going to get the idea firmly into our head that salvation is a total gift? He didn't say to the little thief, well, before I can do that for you, you'll have to become a Catholic. And you'll have to go through an RCIA course. And you'll have to learn all about the faith. And then maybe you can, no. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. Total gift. Salvation is a total gift. It's so simple that we can't accept it, huh? So, so simple. And if you are going to be a true follower of Christ today, then you have to join any movement and be prepared for any movement that supports true leadership, humble leadership, whether it be in our nation or in our church or in the world. That is the only way that we can say we are true Christians, true followers of Christ, and not just in name, but in fact. Amen.